Becoming eliminated. Ah, is it?
Victoria.
We did it before.
It's my weekend.
Stupid aliens, cowards!
Welcome to the Wing Commander CIC Info Burst with your host, Evan Hadrian Adams. On today's show, we have an interview with Chris McCubbin, author of the Wing Commander Confederation Handbook, and a second interview with Dan from Dan's Wing Commander movie site. Also a medley of the clips released of the Wing Commander movie soundtrack that I put together. Hey everyone, we got a great show lined up for you today. We got an interview with Chris McCubbin, and a second interview with Dan from Dan's Wing Commander movie site. Also, a little bit of movie music that I put together from the clips that were released. I've always keep saying I'm gonna get William Forstner on here, and he's really hard to find. I got his phone number and stuff, but I don't want to, like, interview him without his permission. But I'm gonna ask you guys, the fans, if you want me to just call him out of the blue one day and do an interview with him, like, right there. Or do you want me to just keep trying to go through the normal channels and emailing him and stuff like that? Anyway, you know my email address from the webpage? Tell me what I should do.
Battle stations.
The Karathi ships are closing.
To fight a new breed of enemy.
What is this thing?
Earth's last hope is a new generation of warrior.
Lieutenant Christopher Blair.
Todd, Maniac Marshall.
I got two bogeys coming in hot.
Let's do it.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Saffron Burroughs. Matthew Lillard. Checky Cario. Wing Commander.
I love this baby!
Rated PG-13. Now playing only in theaters.
From 1994 to 1997, Chris McCubbin was the lead or co-lead writer on numerous documentations and hint books at Origin. In 1997, he helped form Ink and Monkey God Studios, where he was the lead writer on the official guide to Wing Commander Prophecy and Prima's official guide to Dungeon Keeper Gold. His most recent work is the Wing Commander Confederation Handbook for the upcoming Wing Commander movie. Good afternoon, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Evan.
So, what did you do for Origin?
When I came to Origin, I was a staff writer for the publications department. We did the inbox documentation for all the books, plus any miscellaneous writing stuff that was happened to be needed doing at the time. We also did the hint book and strategy guide for Origin games right from the start.
When did you start working there?
Oh, let's see, when was it? It was about 4.5 years ago, I think.
Well, you've been there longer than most people, then.
not for the last 2 years.
Oh. So, why did you start IMGS?
Well, Origin was, I guess, trying to become a leaner, meaner 90s corporate machine, and they were downsizing and outsourcing a lot of the peripheral departments, one of which was the publications department. And we said, when they came to us and said that we were going to be drastically reduced in size, we said, hey, look, how about if we just all leave, and then we can freelance for you doing the same stuff we were before, and you have that many fewer people on payroll, and we have a company. And they were very helpful in getting us started.
That's kind of like what George Olgi did with the music, right?
Yeah, sure. George has gone more freelance than towards starting up his own company, as I understand it. But, you know, talent like him, he can definitely get along that way.
I see. So how did the Confederation Handbook come about?
The Confederation Handbook was kind of a fun story. Of course, we knew a lot of the people who founded Digital Anvil, and one of which was the president of D.A. Martin Davies. And when he made the deal with Creative Licensing, the company that's setting up all the different licensed products for Wing Commander the movie, they came to him with the idea for this, they call them fact books. And he said, you know, I know somebody you should talk to about that. And Creative Licensing called us and they said, we'd like this book. What we have in mind is sort of like what they'd hand to Blair and Maniac the first time they arrived on the carrier. And we said, you know, it's funny you should say that, because that's exactly what we've done for the documentation for every Wing Commander game.
Yeah.
And we got a little bit from the from just being the carrier's briefing documents, but that still remains a big part of the core of the book.
I see. How did working with HarperCollins differ from working with Origin?
HarperCollins was a lot less picky about what we did. At Origin, the producers and the designers go over everything with a fine-tooth comb, and I'm not complaining because that makes for better books and better documents. HarperCollins and Creative were just kind of, they gave us a very gratifyingly loose leash to kind of run with. Mostly ended up doing most of the continuity work between myself and Peter Tellup, the novelist.
Hmm. How closely did you work with Origin?
You mean Digital Anvil?
Well, I wasn't sure if you consulted any of the Origin people about some of the creative elements or not.
Okay. No, Origin doesn't really have any say in this project, doesn't really want one. You know, they've kind of said, okay, we do the games, that's over here. You guys are doing the movie, that's over here. And we're not going to mess with what you do, and you're not going to mess with what we do. And, you know, we have our business deal, and everything's fine.
Okay. Well, how closely did you work with Digital Anvil, then?
Digital Anvil, we had some meetings early on with some of the production people from the movie. They were a big help in setting us up to get, like, shots of props. Of course, they provided all the artwork that went into the Confederation Handbook. Continuity-wise, they just kind of wound us up and let us go. I mean, you know, we asked them if they had any kind of Bible or background documents on the movie, and they said, no, we have a script. And, you know, if you don't contradict something that's in the script, we're pretty much good with that. So that's how that's where we went from there.
So did you ever watch the movie itself when you were in the creative stage?
Watched a very, very early version of it without a lot of the special effects in it. Based on what I was doing with the handbook, it would have been really nice to see more how the tech works, but the cut I saw gave me a really good idea about how strong the cast was.
Hmm. What was working with Peter Tellup like, and what's he like?
Well, Peter's just a nice guy. I mean, he's obviously a very professional writer, which I appreciate. He was really happy to consult on the continuity. It was just, I know he's worked with some of the guys from the CIC, too, some of the fans. He was just really happy to have somebody who knew the whole history and continuity of Wing Commander. Mm. And he pretty much went with whatever we suggested continuity-wise.
Hmm. Was there anything cut from the final handbook that you wanted to put in but couldn't fit?
No, there was really nothing where we wrote it and they came back and said, no, don't put that in. Much to our surprise and relief.
I was looking at page 43. It has a picture of a Frathi-class cruiser, but it doesn't look like it's completed. Was that because Digital Anvil hadn't completed the model for it?
That one was kind of a judgment call whether we were going to put that in. It's just a matter of the degree of rendering they do, and I don't know the tech stuff behind it. But most of the shots that the Frathi appeared in, it was just a little blob off in the background. It wasn't like the Tiger Claw or the Concordia, where, you know, you get big, long pans across the whole ship. So so they just, it's like in the games when they do heavy, really detailed, highly rendered art for the cutscenes and the flicks, and then there are also some objects that are just little sprites in the game.
Yeah.
This was more of a, they didn't need the kind of detail that, for that one that we got for the other ships.
Hmm. Was this always originally planned out as a book, or did you have any other plans for it before, like a online web page or anything like that?
Well, this was, I mean, this all came about because Creative Licensing and HarperCollins came to us and said, we're going to do this book, can you write it? And, you know, it's going to be sort of like the Aliens technical manual, and we just kind of ran with it from there. So, no, it was a book, right?
Is there any story behind why it turns black and white halfway through, or is it just, was there a reason, or you just run out of money or something like that?
That's just kind of the parameters that HarperCollins has established for the line. You know, if you look at the Aliens Technical Manual, which was the previous book in the series, it also is about half black and white and half color. They intersperse the color throughout the entire book, and we decided to, it would be better for our purposes if we just used it, concentrated on it early on, and then just kind of let it go in the back.
Hmm. Do you have any other future plans involving Wing Commander?
Well, at the moment, no. We don't have anything in the works regarding Wing Commander. The movie materials are pretty well set and ready to go. Most of them are already out. The next Origin project is a long way in the future. Nobody knows what the sequel status is. So right now it seems to be completely up in the air for pretty much everybody, us included. I'm sure we will do more Wing Commander stuff in the future.
Hmm. What are you working on now?
We just got through with our busy season. I've just had a couple of big things published. Admirer's Alpha Centauri, I did the inbox manual and also the Prima Strategy Guide. Right now we're just kind of waiting to gear up for fall and Christmas, which is always our busy season.
Hmm. When did you start working on the handbook?
It was mostly August and September of last year, I think. They confirmed that they wanted us to do it in, like, July, and then we spent a few weeks trying to establish lines of communication with Digital Anvil and find out exactly what kind of visual references and such were available. And by August, I was ready to go on it, and we had it finished up by the end of September.
Hmm. How much freedom did you have when writing some of the accounts in here and the descriptions and things like that? Did you have to consult Digital Anvil for every aspect, or were you able to take some freedoms with them?
Like I said, no, they were really good about it. They said, you know, we have a script, and everything we've done is so far is in the script, and just start from there and fill in the blanks. And they didn't really do a lot of quibbling about, well, this wasn't really what we had in mind, or I don't think this is exactly right for this character. They just kind of let us grab it and run.
Hmm. This is kind of a controversial subject, but what's your explanation about some of the things not matching up to the game?
My explanation is that it's a different continuity. And, you know, as I told the guys at the CIC already, I compare it to Batman. You know, Batman has a TV series, a comic book, and a series of movies. And they all have the same characters and certain key events in common. They all follow the same themes. But the continuity is really different because everything fits together differently. And Wing Commander is the same way. You got Wing Commander the movie, you got Wing Commander the games, and you also have Wing Commander the animated series from a couple years back. They don't really fit together. You know, I encourage the people who want to creatively look at that and play the game of yeah, how can we reconcile all this? I mean, that's just good, clean fun, and I'm all for it. But as a creative person who's trying to do serious work with the concepts, they really just don't fit together when you look at them, you know, from a cold-blooded professional viewpoint.
I noticed on page 116 you have the view of 7 steep layers of brain tissue between the brainstem and left frontal lobe.
Yeah.
And that's a picture of the Orion Nebula?
It sure is, yeah. Good catch on that one. It makes a good x-ray, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is there anything else like that in here?
No. There is one photo continuity error that we found. It's actually pretty obvious, but I don't think anybody's reported it yet online. I think I'll just let you guys dig that one out for yourself.
All right. Did you work with Origin at all with the prophecy map and setting up the things like Beacon and, what are the names? Faith, Promise, and all that stuff? Or did you create the names around, these already existing systems that Origin came up with?
We listed them pretty much wholesale from the prophecy map. We didn't ask Origin's permission first. We just kind of went ahead and did it. We borrowed a lot of stuff from the Wing Commander game continuity like that. You know, there's also a lot of stuff from Wing 1 and Wing 2. You know, Origin had given permission to use that stuff when they originally signed the license for the movie. And so we tried to make free with it as much to make it a familiar place, even if it's not exactly the same place as the universe of the games.
Where'd you get the idea for the hopper drive?
The hopper drive, that was all me, and it just kind of happened. Basically, I was trying to work out the timeline, and I thought there needed to be an intermediate technical step between the jump drive and the impulse engine, some kind of faster-than-light drive that still took a matter of years and not days to get between stars. And so I came up with the techno-mumbo-jumbo of the hopper drive, and I guess Peter Tellep's kind of taken that and run with it. I think it's going to be a fairly important plot point in his next novel.
How much freedom did you have with the Pilgrim stuff? I don't know how much it's mentioned in the movie, obviously, because I haven't seen it yet. But, I mean, you have a whole background information on how they came to be and why and, like, Earth's quarantine and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's all me. Some of the technical stuff is actually based on the Origin continuity, but very little. Of course, the Pilgrims have never existed at all in the games.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all we knew about the Pilgrims from the script is that they were religious guys, they had weird powers, and they fought a war with the Confederation within living memory. And everything else is pretty much mine.
That's it. Thanks for doing this interview.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks for letting me on.
Thank you.
Dan Splat Finkelstein currently runs the webpage known as Dan's Wing Commander Movie Site. He was hired to do the official Wing Commander movie site, however, Fox did not use his design, but still used small parts from it. Hi Dan, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So, how did Dan's Wing Commander site start?
Well, how did Dan's Wing Commander site start? Well, I had just finished up my Lost World page about the Lost World movie, and that was very successful. And I guess I was bored one day and wanted to make a new website, so I heard about this Wing Commander movie. And since I'm like really big Wing Commander fan, and I'm a big fan of movies in general, I figured I'd make a Wing Commander movie webpage, so that's how it started.
How did Digital Anvil contact you about doing the official webpage?
Oh, well, that's interesting. That was like about after a month of after I started it. It's just some guy emailed me from, they said they're on the set of the movie in Luxembourg, and they said that it's really cool, and they were like, they wanted to correct me on something I had made a mistake on. But that turned out to be Maren Davies, who's the president of Digital Anvil, which I didn't know at the time. So eventually, this guy just contacted me, telling them to call him to talk about the website. And a few months later, I was down there in Austin talking to them, and it was really cool.
Did you get to see the movie while you were there?
No, they didn't have the movie done yet, but they showed me the trailer, and they showed me an unfinished version of the trailer, and they showed me some of that stop motion effect, the one with the Gap commercial type thing. They showed me how they did that too.
I hear you play a part in the movie, possibly.
Yes, I'm in the movie. While I was there, since the movie it has a pretty low budget, they really needed anyone to record some like background dialogue. It's called like Walla, and so in one of the battle scenes, you should be able to hear me. All you have to do is listen for my nick. It's Splat, but you should be able to hear me. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I've been told by the sound editor that you can hear me pretty well, so I have to listen for my big screen debut.
What do you say?
I actually don't really remember, but as long as it's something with Splat, so, and like, I saw the script, I'm like, hey, why don't we change this to Splat so I could, like, get my nick out to, like, the entire world, and the guy's like, okay, we'll do that. So, I mean, I didn't even think it would make it in there, but supposedly it did, so should be able to hear it.
Now, can you tell me about what happened with Fox recently?
With Fox recently? Well, I worked really hard on this website for them. I actually made two different versions of it, one of which you can see on my unofficial site now. I put that up yesterday. I changed a little bit, you know, I made it unofficial instead of official, but I delivered two websites to Digital Anvil, and they seemed to like it. I mean, I didn't really get too much feedback, but it turned out then, like, a few days before the site goes live, I find out that they changed a lot of it and that Fox wanted a lot of changes. And this web guy, Corey Pennington, he had made a lot of changes, basically redesigned the entire site. So I wasn't really happy, but that's the way it went.
Do you think that Digital Anvil even informed Fox about them having a web page being done?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm sure they showed Fox what they had. I don't know whether Fox didn't like it or not, or it was too colorful or something. I have no idea, but I guess they just wanted a really simple site. You know, this is who is in it, this is where it's coming out, this is where you can download the trailer. They didn't want really anything else. So, I mean, I had planned the site to be like this big site with lots of features and, you know, and lots of interaction, message board, chat room, that sort of thing.
More dynamic.
I guess Fox wasn't really interested in that, so that's probably what happened.
It seems like Fox wanted a static page, whereas you want a dynamic page with...
Right, yeah, I don't like any websites where, I mean, this is basically a big ad for whatever. You know, I think the cool thing about the internet is how it's all interactive and people can participate and make their own sites and everything. So I don't like making web pages like that, but that's what Fox, the mega corporation, obviously wanted.
That's all I had to ask you about. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's it for this show, folks. Until next time, and remember, stop that, you scare my chickens.